We're talking about Elijah at Mount Carmel, so maybe bringing a fire down from heaven would be a bad object to bring for an object lesson. But 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. This is actually a couple verses just following Elijah's showdown at Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. So this is just the next few verses right after that happens. We're always so familiar with that, and even this is a very familiar story. But I want to look at these few verses and kind of look at the aftermath of that great event. 1 Kings chapter 19, if you're there in your Bibles, verse number 1, and the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Let's pray, and then let's jump in and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you even already for some of the men in our church, Lord, who have studied, Lord, who know your word, who have gleaned truths from it, Lord, and came and were able and willing to share it, Lord, with the church. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I do pray that you will speak to us now. Be with Dr. Starr, be with Brother Todd as they'll preach later, Lord. And Lord, we just want to hear from you. Lord, we want you to show us things that we can change and apply to our lives, Lord, and be a better Christian, better servant for you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah is such a unique character. In fact, he combines two really extreme characteristics that we don't really see with a lot of other Bible characters. When you look at Elijah, you think Bible hero. You look at him performing all these mighty acts that basically are superhuman. He's doing all these things that normal people shouldn't be able to do. He's doing these amazing things. And as you read through 1 Kings 18, all you can say is, wow. Then you get to 1 Kings 19. And that hero, like, disappears. The superhero, supernatural acts, he just looks so human. So you go from saying, wow, about Elijah to, wow, Elijah did that? Two extremes, failing and appearing to be very human. While we see him do amazing things that shows he's not the average human, just a while later we see he's just like the rest of us. He's just like a normal person. He almost leaves us scratching our heads in disgust, wondering what in the world happened to him. I want to look at a lesson I've entitled, Weary Warriors. Weary Warriors. Elijah was a warrior. We've seen these amazing things, but how did he fall to the depths we just read about in chapter 19? And I want to put out there, I think Elijah was weary. I think it was weariness that brought him from this height to this depth in just a matter of a few verses. You know, the human body is an amazing creation. It's capable of enduring and accomplishing some amazing feats, things we would never think would be possible. If you research some of these athletes or even soldiers and different things that they can do, that they can make their body do, or even scientists, things that the brain power and the amazing calculations and things people can come up with, or inventions. With athletes, from the massive weight training that people, you watch some of these bodybuilders and the amazing amount of weights they can lift. These other athletes, you see the speeds they can run or the distances they can run. My wife follows a lot of different runners, and it's amazing. Sometimes they'll run for hundreds, 200, 300, 400 miles. Some of them will run for literally days at a time. They'll run so much that they'll fall asleep basically running. They'll have hallucinations. They're running so far and so long, things we would never think would be possible. But even the human body has limits. Pheidippides was the Greek messenger, the famous battle of Marathon. After the Greeks won this battle and defeated Persians, Pheidippides was the messenger that ran back to let Athens know, hey, we're victorious. And that's where we get the name the Marathon from, for the 26.2-mile race. It's believed, though, that he ran around 150 miles in those 2 days leading up to the battle, sending messages around. He went to the battle. After the battle, he ran back the 26 miles and announced victory, and he died. Even this amazing messenger, his body had a limit. He grew weary, and his body could go no further. The word weary is defined as having the strength much exhausted by toil or violent exertion, having the patience exhausted or the mind yielding to discouragement. Weariness. Weariness, that's something people face. When I looked up that definition, I just could not help but think of camp and everybody there involved in camp, but specifically the junior campers. And it's so funny. You watch the juniors come in on Monday. They're so excited. They're yelling. They're screaming at the top of their lungs, cheering for their team. Fast forward to Friday. It's so funny watching these little 8 and 9 or 10-year-olds dragging themselves up to breakfast. They're coming up with their sleeping bags and their suitcases. They can barely walk sometimes. They're so tired, can't keep their eyes open. Some of them, you can see, they're just, you know, they're going to be asleep before the vehicle gets out of the parking lot. Weariness. What they were ready to do on Monday and the things they accomplished, they did some great things for an 8-year-old, but by Friday, they're just worn out. They can't go any farther. Christians, God has given us a calling. God's given us things to do. God gave Elijah all these things to do, and we can do some great things, but weariness can set in. Weariness happens when we're toiling, when we're doing things. Weariness sends in. Just as Pheidippides' body had a limit after all those miles, just like Elijah did these great things, but he crashed. Weariness faces is something we all face. Notice, weariness isn't a condemnation. It's not a sin, but it's something we as Christians have to recognize. We will become weary. We will face weariness, and it's not a sin, but it's something we have to know. We have to recognize it and properly respond to weariness. So this morning, I want to look at three different thoughts regarding the Christian life and weariness. Point number one, the cause of the weary warrior. The cause, what makes us weary? What is the cause for the weary warrior? The first one is the physical wear and tear on the Christian. The physical. Look at verse number 5 of our text. First Kings chapter 19, verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. Now, we didn't just read the previous chapter. Most of us know the story. But to summarize, 1 Kings 18, from Elijah's perspective, if we summed it all up in one word, I would just think exhausting. He goes to the king of the nation and challenges him. And he says, bring all your prophets, bring everybody to Mount Carmel, and we're going to have a showdown. He goes and he makes a passionate plea to Israel. Hey, choose Baal or choose God. One of the two, make a choice. And nobody responds. He then goes on and he builds an altar. He digs a trench in the hard soil, the hard dirt around this thing. He has it filled with tons of water. He cuts up a huge a bull. These things were massive things. It wasn't like a little calf. He slaughtered it and sacrificed it. He prayed and God brought the fire. But it didn't end there. He chased down all the prophets of Baal, 850 of them, with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. He killed all of them. Then he prayed and interceded to the Lord, bring rain. Rain came, and then Elijah goes and he outruns the king's chariot, the royal chariot, and goes for miles. What a day, but what an exhausting day. Boy, I'm exhausted after just a fraction of the things that Elijah did. And imagine most of us, if we were to try to do any of these things, boy, we would be exhausted. So knowing all that, when we get to 1 Kings 19, we can see why he would be exhausted. You know, a lot of times when you read a story or whatever, the hero, you don't normally read of the superheroes. And you don't think about them needing food or needing sleep. You know, when you think of Superman or Batman or any of these people, you don't think about, oh, I bet he's tired. Oh, I wonder if he's hungry. You just, You don't think about heroes needing that thing. But Elijah, as much of a hero as he was still a human. And when we think of Elijah, we don't really think of, boy, he probably needs some rest. Boy, he probably needs a meal. You think about David and Goliath. David was probably weary at the end of the day. When he went to bed, his head hit the pillow or whatever he slept on, he was probably weary. Because humans face weariness. One of the causes of weariness is just the physical wear and tear. Christians, this is not an excuse to hide behind. I can't serve the Lord because I'm weary. But it's a truth we have to be aware of. We have to understand that physical wear and tear on our bodies can affect us spiritually. When we're sick, lots of people are sick. Understand that's going to affect your outlook, your thoughts. It's going to affect your spirit. It's going to affect you. What about when you're tired or hungry? You just don't feel good. It's going to affect how you treat others. Be careful about the weariness of physical wear and tear. Weariness can affect your patience towards others. Your patience and trust in the Lord. Boy, Lord, I just don't understand what you're doing in our country, what you're doing, all this. Weariness can have an impact on your outlook. It can have an impact on your diligence, your dedication to your ministries or the job you're called to do. We have to be careful not to separate the spiritual from the physical. God gave us, we're three-part body, soul, and spirit. And our body, the burdens we face with our physical body, will affect the other things. We have to understand one of the causes of weariness is the physical wear and tear that we face. Just remember that. Be careful for the physical wear on the Christian. The second one, though, is the spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare. We do face physical, but there's also spiritual wear that we face. Turn back to 1 Kings 18. Look at verse number 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Drop down to verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Not only was chapter 18 a physical drain on Elijah, it was a spiritual battle too. Have you ever been somewhere and you just felt spiritual oppression? You just knew there's spiritual battle going on. Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's a certain area you're in. Maybe it's something you're trying to do for the Lord and you just feel spiritual battle. Spiritual battles are real. Just think about this. Elijah was trying to build an altar to the Lord. Elijah was trying to lift up the name of Christ. Elijah was trying to influence Israel to stand for God. And at the same time, here's all these other prophets of the groves, prophets of Baal, trying to influence people to serve them. That's a spiritual battle between God and demonic forces. There was spiritual warfare going on. Even today, Christians face spiritual warfare. We might not physically see an altar with prophets of Baal leaping on it and calling for their gods to bring fire, which Elijah did. But there's spiritual warfare we face. How about when you invite someone to church? And there's all these things that are going to affect, try to discourage them from coming. What about when you make a commitment? God, I'm committing to come out to visitation. I'm committing to do these things. Satan's going to try to get you to fall back from that decision. What about when you try to witness? There's going to be all these roadblocks, all these mental attacks to try to get you not to share the gospel. What about every time God leads you to take a step for Him, there's something that battles? That's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare can be another burden, another thing that Christians grow weary with. We have to understand the causes that make us weary, physical, spiritual causes that'll bring weariness. We have to recognize these. We have to know these things so we can know how to respond to them. Number three, though, we see physical and spiritual weariness. Look at verse 20 of chapter 18. Disappointment. Disappointment and discouragement. Look at verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And as we read verse 21, I think it's pretty easy to picture Elijah being so passionate and emphatic on this and trying to convince people. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I think Elijah just wanted to separate, and here's this side and here's this side, so that we can actually do the battle and make this decide, because there's all these people in the middle. And he makes a plea: hey, if you don't believe in God, if you think Baal, then follow Baal, but if you believe God, then follow God. And I'm sure Elijah is hoping that a group of people are going to come and be with him, so he's not all by himself and he can help lead a group of Israelites to serve God and to commit themselves to God. And nothing happens. Even after the fire comes down, even after all Israel says, "The Lord is God," because they saw the fire, we see them go and kill the prophets, but we don't see widespread revival in Israel. And I think that was Elijah's goal. Hey, here's Mount Carmel. We want to see God do something. We want to see revival in Israel. I'm pretty sure that was Elijah's goal, was for people to turn to God, and it didn't happen. What happens when you're disappointed, when you're expecting something and it doesn't happen? It can bring weariness. Have you ever poured your heart and soul into something just to watch it burn up in front of you? I hate mechanics, working on cars or things like that. It's not my forte. I would much rather do woodwork and that sort of thing. That's enjoyable to me, but mechanics, I do not like it. But I know there's a lot of guys in the church that enjoy it, especially a lot of our young men that, you know, have their truck projects. I'm not going to mention my brother by name, but they have these projects that they want to work on, and I'm sure they enjoy it. But if they've got a project, maybe they work on this one piece of their truck for 2, 3, 4, 5 days, and they work on it, and they finally get it together, and here's what it's supposed to do, and they start the truck up or whatever. They try to do it, and it doesn't happen. They didn't fix it. How do you feel after that? Is your first reaction, "Oh, that's okay, I'm just going to jump back into it. I know I spent 3 days on it and I worked on it and it didn't fix it, but I'm going to just jump back." Is that the reaction? Are you optimistic that, "Hey, I'll do this again and it'll work this time"? Are you energetic that, "Hey, I'll just keep plugging along"? Chances are your reaction is, "All right, give me a number for the tow truck. Let's just get it to the junkyard. I'm done with this thing." When you try something and it burns up in front of you, you just want to give up. Imagine Elijah. "I poured my heart and soul and God brought fire. What else can we do for Israel?" I'm sure he was disappointed. That brought weariness. Christians, what happens when you do something that you think God's going to do this and it doesn't happen the way we think it's going to happen? It brings discouragement. It brings weariness. It brings the thought, "Why am I even doing this? Hey, I invited someone out to the evening of gratitude and they were going to come and we canceled it. Boy, hey, I finally went through TNT and I got to give the whole plan of salvation to someone and they just slammed the door in my face. Boy, why am I even doing this?" Disappointment and discouragement can bring weariness. Christians, be careful when you're disappointed in your spiritual life. Disappointment's going to come. Discouragement's going to come. Be careful when something disappoints you. That's one of the causes of weariness. That's one of the things that contributed to Elijah going from hero to lying underneath a juniper tree doing nothing. That's one of the causes. Be careful when you face discouragement. The fourth thing is personal attack. In our text, in chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, we read about Jezebel saying, "Hey, Elijah, you're going to be dead within a day." Personal attack. You know what personal attack brought? It brought fear. Fear of the future. Not just, "Hey, this is bad." It brought the thought that, "Hey, it's going to get worse in the future." Christians, be careful about personal attack. People attacking you, discouraging you. Be careful about the fear of something else going wrong in the future that you think, "Hey, it's only going to get worse." That brings weariness. Weariness, the weary warrior. Here's some of the causes. Here's some of the things we have to recognize in our lives. Hey, if I'm going through a physically exhausting time, I have to be careful, be extra sensitive to the fact that I might face weariness. Hey, when we're going into an important ministry at church, or I'm doing something like camp or Christmas musical or things that, hey, I know there's going to be spiritual warfare, be careful. Watch out for weariness. When you're discouraged by something's not turning out the way it's supposed to, when you have personal attack, when you're afraid of something that might fall apart in the future, be careful for weariness. something that's going to bring you down as a Christian and make you just want to find a juniper tree and quit. Be careful. Watch out for those things. We saw the causes of the weary warrior. I want to look briefly at number two, the course of the weary warrior. The course. Or what is his reaction? Really, his reaction was isolation. And I want to just briefly look at these things. But Elijah isolated himself from difficulty. Look at verse number three. And when he saw that, and he's talking about the threat from Jezebel, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He ran away from the problem. He said, hey, if Jezebel's up here in Israel, which is in the north, if Jezebel's here and she's got her troops here in Israel and she wants to kill me, I'm just going to run. So he ran down into Judah and he left his servant there and he continued down all the way south of Judah into the wilderness. He just got away from the problem. Christians, be careful about running from a problem that needs to be faced. That's our reaction. When we're weary, we just want to get away from it. The isolation from difficulty, the isolation from duty. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. The wilderness, there was nothing there. Now, Elijah was a prophet. His job was to bring messages to the people that God sent him to. His job was to interact with the people. There was no people in the wilderness. Elijah went somewhere far away from his calling. Christians, when we're weary, we tend to want to run away from what God's called us to do. Ministries, here's a ministry I was involved in. Boy, I'm weary. If you ever get the thought, maybe I just need to quit this ministry for a time. Maybe I just want to drop out of choir. I just need to drop out of this Sunday school class. I just want to drop out of these things. Be careful. You might be facing weariness. You might be trying to isolate yourself from your duty because you're weary. Be careful if you see these things. The last thing he isolated himself was from companions. Look at verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Elijah had a servant there helping him with whatever God called him to do. And when Elijah was weary, he said, you stay here. I'm leaving. He separated himself. He isolated himself from his servant. Then he went to the wilderness and isolated himself from other people. Christian, if you find yourself just separating from other Christians at the church, people you used to minister with, people you used to fellowship with and encourage one another, and you just start putting up walls and separating yourself, you might be facing weariness and just running away from it all. That's what Elijah did. The course or the reaction of the weary warrior. But in our last few minutes, I want to look at the cure. There's a cure for the weary warrior. How can the weary warrior get from weariness back and recover, get some R&R and get back to where he ought to be? The physical rest and refilling. Look at verse number 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold then, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. While spiritual battles require spiritual answers, and we are spiritual beings, that we require spiritual time with the Lord for strength. And, you know, even Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. While all that is true, Christians, we still inhabit physical bodies. We still need to get the physical rest and refilling that we need. 1 Samuel 14, the Bible talks about here about David running away from Saul. Different passage. This is about Israel chasing after the Philistines. And Saul had given a command that nobody should eat anything, but Jonathan didn't hear that. And they're all chasing, physically exhausted. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 14:25, and all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with that oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in a honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. The word enlightened here means luminous, set on fire, or shining. You know, you can see it in somebody's eyes when they're weary or fatigued. You can just see it when the life is drained out of them. On the other hand, you can see it in somebody's eyes when they're energized and ready to go. The Bible talks about his eyes being enlightened. Here's Israel, physically worn out. They weren't wicked in this passage. It's not talking about wickedness and sin of Israel. They're physically worn out. Their eyes were dim. Jonathan had physical nourishment and his eyes were enlightened. I think it's interesting the Bible talks about the eyes. It talks about your outlook. How you look at things. How you think about things. Sometimes Christians, we would get wrapped up with it's all spiritual and we do need to focus on the spiritual, but don't neglect our physical bodies. There may be times when you physically are sick or run down or have put yourself so hard that you're weary and you need physical nourishment. This isn't to use physical rest as a crutch to be lazy. But Christian, if you're weary physically, maybe it's time to find that juniper tree and get some food and get some rest. So there's physical rest and refilling. But we also see that we're looking at the cures. The second cure is spiritual retreat, a spiritual retreat with God. Look at verse number 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and brake it in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And we read then, God speaks to Elijah, and Elijah speaks to God, and God speaks back to Elijah, and they have this communication. But it only happened after Elijah went and sought the Lord, or retreated to this mountain and sought the Lord. We know how important physical food is to our bodies. If we start skipping meals, you're going to feel it physically. You're going to feel weak. You're going to feel shaky. Maybe you're going to realize you need food. But spiritually, we're the same way. If we're weary, if we go through times of spiritual warfare, if we go through times where we're not having an intake of spiritual things, we're going to be weak spiritually. We're going to need the retreat with the Lord. Notice when Elijah went to the juniper tree, there were no real hindrances trying to stop him from having the physical food and rest. Satan didn't send a storm. He didn't send wild animals that we can read to try to disrupt his rest. But when Elijah sought the Lord, the spiritual refilling, there were hindrances. There was the great wind, but God wasn't in it. And if God wasn't in it, then it was probably Satan in it, trying to disrupt this time. And after the wind didn't accomplish it, there was the earthquake. And Elijah stayed through that. And then the fire, but the Lord wasn't in that. So Satan was probably in the fire trying to disrupt it. And after all that, finally Elijah had his time with the Lord. You might go through times when you need a spiritual refilling. And maybe there's obstacles trying to separate your time that you set aside for the Lord. Maybe there's all these things, but Elijah stayed and waited until he had that time with God. He waited until he could speak to God, until he could hear from God back. And he spoke to God again and brought his burdens and his weariness, and God spoke back to him. His spiritual retreat with God. Christians, if you're weary, get some rest. Take care of your physical body, but then get away and just wait until you can speak to God, until you can hear from him. And know there might be a fire, there might be an earthquake, there might be these things that Satan tries to get in between, but just stay there and wait until you can hear from God. That's what Elijah needed in order to overcome the weariness. And notice, after Elijah had the physical rest, he still had the outlook that, what am I doing? It wasn't until he got the physical and the spiritual that his outlook began to change. So we're looking at the cures. We looked at the physical rest. We looked at the spiritual retreat with God. But the third cure for weariness is the commission to be reestablished. The commission to be reestablished. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. You know, one of the most peaceful things about this whole passage I can think about is Elijah under the juniper tree. You know, after all the things he went through and the chaos, I just picture a quiet, peaceful juniper tree, and Elijah just resting underneath. I don't know if people like camping, but that just sounds peaceful. Him resting there, sleeping until he woke up with no alarm clock, and there's food for him, and he ate the food, and he just rested, and he woke up and there's more food, and that just sounds wonderful. But think about how sad it would have been if Elijah stayed under the juniper tree. As peaceful and calm as it was, if we read the rest of Elijah's days, he was under a juniper tree. How sad would that have been? We never would have heard about Elisha. We never would have read about the chariots of fire. We never would have seen all the miracles. And more importantly than that, all the people that Elijah and Elisha touched from this point on would have never been touched if Elijah stayed under the juniper tree. You know, Christians, a lot of times we get weary and we find a juniper tree, we step back, we take a time of rest, but we can't stay there. God used the juniper tree in Elijah's life, but he used it so he could move on and do something more. His commission was at Mount Carmel. He accomplished it. He had a rest at the juniper tree, but God gave him another commission. Christians, maybe you've accomplished something for the Lord, or maybe the brakes have been put on something and you've been put on pause. Don't stay there under the juniper tree. Find another commission. God, what would you have me to do? What should I do for you? Find something. The juniper tree is a great gift and rest from God, but don't stay there and don't waste what God would love to do with you. The commission reestablished, part of what gets us out of weariness is getting the rest, but getting a renewed vision on, now what can I do? What can I push towards? If you don't have something to push towards, you're going to struggle with weariness. Find a commission to push towards. And the last cure, as we wrap up, is the fellowship renewal with other Christians. The fellowship renewal with other Christians. The last thing God said was, Elijah, I want you to find Elisha. And he's going to be your minister. The other one was a servant, and he served and he assisted Elijah. But Elisha was a minister, and he was followed after Elijah, and he eventually took his place. He was somebody that he could have fellowship with. And again, there God mentions, oh, and by the way, there's 7,000 in Israel, wicked Israel. There's 7,000 that still serve me. He said, Elijah, by the way, I know you feel isolated. Go find some Christians. Go find some fellowship, some companions to serve with. Christians, if we're weary, sometimes we isolate ourselves and we think maybe nobody's going through what we're going through. And go connect with other Christians. Go serve with them. Go find other Christians to fulfill your commission with. That is one of the cures for weariness. It's exciting to read about the Elijah of chapter 18. And oh, how great that is. But wow, how the scene changes from chapter 18 to 19. It's because of weariness. Sometimes I think we look at weariness wrong. It's not a sin. It's not a weakness that we should be disgusted at. It's something us as humans face. We have to recognize what causes weariness. Recognize when it sets into us. Recognize when I, as a Christian, I'm struggling with weariness. And recognize the cure. Here's what I need to do to overcome weariness and to get back on track doing what I should be doing for the Lord.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.